Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, writer, podcaster, and thought extraordinaire Dennis Norris II from the Food for Thought podcast is joining me this week to talk about what happens when the hot jock from school starts trying to get in your pants.
Oh, and of course you can feel free to add in bottom extraordinaire or something like that. I love talking about my bottomhood.
Lovely. You're listening to Probably True. Please be aware that this podcast may contain strong language and adult themes. It would be boring without them.
Okay, so this story actually begins at the end of my senior year of high school. So you may know this about me if you've listened to Food for Thought, but I went to an all-boys high school in a place called Hunting Valley, Ohio. And, you know, it was a sort of deeply homophobic place, like deeply problematic place, very conservative. And it was a really difficult time for me. But during my senior year, there were like a lot of guys who started like hitting on me and flirting with me. And I just sort of, most of the time I thought they were fucking with me because they had always been very like straight identified. But towards the end of my senior year, I went to a couple parties and there was this one guy and he was super hot. And I'm gonna call him Chad, sticking with those one syllable white boy first names that I have a tendency to end up sleeping with. And Chad and I ran into each other at a party, and he flirted with me quite a bit. In fact, he wanted me to get in the hot tub with him, but wouldn't, because I didn't trust the whole situation. But he got out towards the end of the party and he gave me his number, and he was like, anytime you want to fool around, like, let me know. I still didn't trust it. I had just had my first drink at this party. Like, I was just like, I don't know what's going on. I don't trust any of this. I really was like a nun in high school.
Was he keeping it on the down low, or was he just not bothered who overheard what you were?
He kind of kept it on the down low. Like, he wasn't loud about it, but there were other people in the periphery. Certainly my best friend, who was a girl and did not go to school with us, but I could bring her to whatever party I wanted to because all the guys thought she was hot. She heard, and I don't remember if other people heard or not, but there were, like, this was in a kitchen of a house at a house party. Like, it's not like it was some huge space. So it seemed like he didn't care that much. I think there was a lot of, like, fuck it all, we're all leaving this place. So he was a little more reckless than he would have been. The invitation to get into the hot tub came in an isolated space, but the rest of it, he was around people. I think that's part of why I still didn't trust it and thought it was, like, a joke, or thought he was, like, making fun of me in some way. Because we hadn't really been friends in school either. Like, we knew each other. It was a small school. He was pleasant enough, but we weren't, like, friends. So I went on my way, and I ran into him at a graduation party, like, a week later, someone's graduation party, and he, at one point, we were by the food by ourselves, and he was like, seriously, like, hit me up anytime you want to fool around. I still didn't trust it. So I went off to camp for the summer. I went away for 6 weeks, and I had to go to college right after I got back home from camp. So didn't see him for a long time. And then I was home for the holidays. So I was home for Christmas and New Year's. And I went with my two best friends to a Denny's late at night to just have food. So we go there and I see this guy, I see Chad, and I see him with this other guy that I went to high school with. And they take me from my friends and pull me over to their table. And I'm sitting next to the other guy, and he's the one who's talking to me. But Chad is sitting across from me, and underneath the table, Chad is playing footsie with me. At one point, he reaches his hand across the table and, like, touches my arm. And then he gets up and goes to the bathroom.
Is there a kind of lingering look over his shoulder? And
yes. Okay. I think he kind of walks by and, like, squeezes my shoulder. And I'm just like, what is going on? Is this happening? So I eventually get up and leave the other guy, who seems completely oblivious. I think he doesn't even notice what's happening.
Straight guys.
That's
so much fun.
Literally. And he's, like, also, I think, the drunker of the two. So he's just completely, like, he doesn't know what's happening. So, yeah. So I go to the bathroom, and Chad is waiting for me. And we don't do anything. He just says, he's like, don't you know I've wanted you for a long time? I'm still like, what? So we exchange phone numbers. And he's like, yeah, I'm here until I go to school right after New Year's. Like, call me. So I'm like, okay, great. And then I go and I sit with my friends and I'm like, this just happened. Like, I still don't believe it's happening, but it seems to have happened. So the next day he calls me and we talk and he wants me to come over to his house the next day. Now the next day is New Year's Eve. So we make plans for me to go over to his house like during the day. And I do. And he brings me down to his basement, and his basement is kind of like his like man cave. He's a super athletic, muscular guy. His whole thing in high school was track and field and cross country. I think he like maybe won state championships and like just like was very intense about it.
And did you find him hot when you were at school with him? But would never dare act.
The whole reason why this was so unbelievable is because this is one of the guys that was like in my spank bank. Like I would think of him. There was like a rotation of like, I don't know, 5 or 6 guys that I thought were really hot. And all the time I would just like be thinking about them and fantasizing about them. But I never thought that anything would happen with any of them. Let's see. He was about my height, just super built, super muscular, blonde haired, blue eyed, not the sharpest tool in the shed, like not the smartest guy, but not the dumbest, just sort of average in that way, but just really hot. And he was never really like a dick to me. Like some guys were really assholes to me when I was younger. By the time I was a senior, I was cool with everyone, but like he was never a total jerk, which was nice. Mm-hmm. So I had some respect for him. So I get to his house and he immediately wants to start hooking up. And I'm like, no, let's talk about this first. Because like, I just feel like I'm in territory that I don't know what to do with. And so we talk and he sort of confesses that he's really curious and that he's had a little crush on me and that because I'm really feminine, he feels more comfortable exploring with me as opposed to like, you know, a sort of a butcher gay guy. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. He offers to give me a blowjob, which
the gentleman, that's such a sweet thing.
Well, that shocked me because I was so used to the narrative of straight guys like wanting to get a blowjob, maybe wanting to fuck you, but not necessarily offering to do the same in return.
It's not gay if you don't actually put a dick in your mouth.
Exactly. That was the kind of culture that I was in that school for sure. So I didn't take him up on that. I was like, let's just like start with like making out. And so we make out for a little bit. And he lays down and pulls me on top of him and we make out. He's an okay kisser. It's fine. And I'm a virgin at this point. Like I've sucked dick, but I've never had anal sex or even come close to it. I wasn't ready for it, but I'm wondering if it's going to happen. And that day I was wondering.
And what was going through your mind at this point? Because I'm fascinated. I'm really into this story.
I can't believe this is happening. Am I really here? I'm in Chad's basement. Like I've also never been with a guy that like muscular, like just this who really feels in some ways like a man. Like I had not experienced that. It was super hot. And I just was like, I feel like I'm in a dream state. Like I actually, like this is that like straight guy that everyone sort of fantasizes about and like wants to be with, like when they're a little baby gay. Like you look at those boys and you want to be with them. I am actually like at this guy's house. There's clearly nobody here. He had actually wanted to come to my house, but I was like, that's just not an option. Like that's not a thing that can happen. And so I think he kind of made it happen where he was like, okay, you can come to my place. So then eventually I go down on him and it's really nice because he has like a nice dick, but it's not like huge. And I wasn't super experienced, but I knew what I was doing. And he is like kind of going crazy. He's doing the whole thing. He's got his hand on my head. He's pushing it up and down. But again, because he's not too big, I can handle it. So I'm very comfortable with it. After a few minutes, he like totally comes in my mouth. And it was like super hot. I was just like, wow, I can't believe that happens. And then he gets up and sort of walks by me to go get a towel to like dry, wipe off. And I just sort of slapped his ass, which is like the most jock thing I've ever done. And he had this really huge, like round muscular ass because he was like so strong. It was just like incredibly hot. So, you know, we chat for a few more minutes. I ask him if he like is interested in fucking me or if that's something that he's ever wanted to do. And he says, no, like, he's like, I don't want to do that. That's too gay. But I like all of this was great. And so I'm like, okay, all right, well, this is lovely. Like, are we going to see each other again? And he's like, probably not. I go back to school. It's New Year's Eve. And he goes back to school on January 2nd. So he's like, probably not. And I'm like, okay, no problem. Like, this was fun. figure yourself out. Like, you know, it's fun to explore and whatever. Of course, he does the whole, like, don't tell anyone.
Ugh. Aw. Bless.
Yes. And I was like, I was like, no worries. I won't tell anyone. Of course, I told my best friends.
And she told everyone. So that's fine. Yeah. That's cool.
Cut to that night.
Oh my God.
My girlfriend and my best friend and I go to the New Year's Eve party of a friend of ours. And the girl who's hosting the party is the girlfriend of another guy that I went to high school with. And so we're there, we're having a good time, we're drinking, we're still kind of new to drinking because we were really well behaved in high school. And Chad shows up. Yeah, Chad shows up. And I remember that we get in there and he arrives and we're having a conversation about one of our high school teachers who's an Asian man, and he says something racist. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he says something racist. And I was just like, really? Did I just suck his dick? Like, is that what just happened? Of course, it's what happened. But, you know, we proceed with the party. We all get wasted. Eventually, we spend the night because, like, we're all too drunk to drive. So we're partying in this girl's basement, but everyone sort of disperses to different rooms all over the house. And it ends up being me and Chad alone in the basement on the pullout couch.
Oh, my.
So we fool around again. And then I don't remember how well the fooling around went because we were both pretty drunk.
It would have been rude not to at this point. You know.
It would have been rude not to. But eventually we fall asleep and we pass out. And I wake up the next morning. He is big spooning me. Like, he's wrapped around me, his arms wrapped around me, and I was just like, okay, like, this is actually really nice. Like, I feel valued and respected. And I'm like, this sort of badass jock guy is just like, he just wants to spoon. And tonight he wanted to spoon a boy.
Oh, that's adorable.
And that was the last time I saw him until the following year. Nothing happened, but the girl who hosted the party night went over to his apartment, and then she had to leave, and she just looked at me and she was like, you should stay if you want. And I should have stayed, but I was like, no, I'll leave too. And I left, and I really wish I had, like, stayed, because he was like, yeah, you should stay, and I, like, didn't. So I've always kind of wondered, like, what could have happened. I've never seen him since. That would have been, like, the holidays around 2005, 2006, like that where that year changes. But the thing that I took away from that interaction, which was so important for me, was that this whole concept of, like, leagues, like, this person's out of my league, that person's out of my league, like, that's not a thing. Like, that's a fiction, because desire is so much less controlled than that. Like, desire is desire. That was important for me because I went through most of college not dating, not hooking up. And because I was as feminine as I am, and of course now I know I'm non-binary, and that has been such a gift because I've been able to, like, express myself the ways I want to. The real gift was that I was able to hold on to that and feel like I could be desired for my femininity, when for many years after that, I went through life being told by many, many people, especially gays, like, you're too feminine, like, you're great, but you're too feminine, I'm not into that, I'm into guys, like, da-da-da. And at moments when my self-esteem was really low, I was like, actually, like, this guy wanted me, and a bunch of these other guys also wanted me. And if I had trusted it a little bit more, I might have, like, had those experiences at that time, which could have been cool. But I really just wasn't ready for them. Like, I wasn't prepared for that because I never saw it coming. But it was hugely important for me to hold on to those moments, because for many years after that, I just was being rejected for being so feminine, and thinking that those kinds of men, sort of cisgender, masculine presenting, straight presenting men who were so often heralded as, like, the object of desire in our community, like, I thought I couldn't get them. And it helped me take them off the pedestal to know that, like, I could, I have, I would again, and I did again. And it was just no big deal. Like, they were no better than any of the rest of us. So that's my story with Chad.
And Chad, if you're listening, get in touch, because Dennis would love to catch up with you.
Catch up.
Oh, lovely. That's a really sweet story. Thank you for sharing.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Do you know if he ever self-defined as bi or gay or anything? Or was it, were you like his straight Achilles heel? Were you the one person that he couldn't not have?
I would imagine that he never identified as queer after that, simply because of his environment. Like, he went to college in a small town in Ohio. I mean, I think it was a bigger school than, like, where I went. So I'm sure there were all kinds of people there in terms of sexuality. But he was a fraternity boy. He presented in such a way. And I would imagine that he just never, like, took on that identity. I would also imagine, though, that I'm not the only guy that he hooked up with. I could be. But I would imagine that there was lots of opportunity and that, like, why wouldn't he take advantage of it? Because I don't feel like he was done. And I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know what his life is like. Like, he's not really on social media. So I have no idea what his life is like. But I would imagine that he might still be, you know, on the DL.
I love that you checked, though. You're like, oh, he's not on social media.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've checked. Like, years later, I would, like, try to look him up. And for a while, he was on Facebook. And we were never Facebook friends. But he was on Facebook. And I would look just to remind myself that I had, like, been with a guy that looked like that and that acted like that. I sort of hate the fact that I needed that validation, but I would look, and I was curious to see if he ever did, like, come out in some way. And it's possible, I guess, that he has, for all I know, but I think word would have gotten back to me. And I just don't think he did.
Like you say, it's that kind of, oh, he's really masculine. He's not going to go for someone like you. Why would he fuck you when he could just fuck a real girl or whatever? And it's just, ah, really toxic and horrible.
Yo,
great,
yeah.
that you have that kind of, well, he did, so shut your fuck up.
Yeah. I remember being a junior in college and having a conversation with a straight friend of mine who's a great ally and just being like, so sad because, like, nothing was happening for me romantically, and I wanted it so badly at that moment. Like, I felt like I had never had a... I felt like I had never had a boyfriend. I had never been in love. And I also, like, because I came out pretty young, I came out when I was just barely 15, I think, or 16, just barely 16. And I was so feminine. I felt like I dealt with all of the shitty aspects of being gay and I wasn't getting, like, the good aspects, right? So, like, I had a religious family, like, that was a complicated situation. I was at a school where I wasn't accepted by a lot of people and I was constantly being microaggressed and bullied and, like, being made to feel less than, both for being gay and for being feminine. So I was dealing with all the shitty aspects of being gay, but I wasn't getting, like, I wasn't in love. I didn't have a great boyfriend. I wasn't having sex. Like, I just was like, where's all the good stuff? Like, there's supposed to be good stuff that comes with this. That's why I came out and I'm not getting it. And I wasn't getting it in college either. And I really didn't get it until after graduate school when I moved to New York and finally was, like, in the world. And so I was, like, sitting on my friend's lap and, like, just crying and, like, whatever. And there were other gay guys in our a cappella group. This was on an a cappella tour trip. There were other gay guys in our group and they had all come out after me and they were all a lot butcher than me and all of them were having experiences and they were also all white. And I just I was like, wow, like, I'm really not built for this world, but this is who I am. And I was like, should I try to butch it up? I had tried to butch it up at different points. At that moment, I was not trying because it wasn't me. But it was there were many years where I just like didn't know how to present myself to the world in a way that might help me like attract someone to date or be involved with. And so having that validation, I was like, okay. But there was one, and like he was in my school at the same time as me. Like, it can't be that difficult for me to meet someone. And of course, now I know that it's not. But I was just very young at that time, and I was in a very small environment.
As an older gay now, well, as an older queer now, if you know what I mean, what would you say to someone in that situation now?
So I had a few wonderful people in my life who were older. One of the English teachers that I had in high school, she was actually never my teacher, but she was an Indian woman. She'd gone to Bryn Mawr College. And she was like my mentor in high school. And the thing that she said to me at that time was, this is not your life. Like, where you are right now, this is not your life. You were destined for so much more than this. Your life is going to be so much bigger and better than this. This is just your circumstance right now. And she's like, I know you can't see it, but I see it. And I know like what the greatness that is in store for you. And she kind of like did that thing that parents do with little kids where they hold them by the shoulders and they look right next to them. And look out at like whatever. So she was like, look out at these like fools. And she's like, half of these idiots, the best thing that's going to be in their life is this time right now. Half of these idiots are actual idiots. Whereas you're brilliant. The peak of your life is yet to come. You just have to get there. And it's like a much more detailed way of that sort of cliched movement. It gets better, but that's what it is distilled, is it gets better. But it really does. Like, you have to sort of find the strength to be yourself. And for me, what I've learned is that the simple fact that I exist in this skin, in this presentation, in this personality, in this voice, is enough for me to know that I am enough. And I just had to wait for the rest of the world to catch up. It is catching up. So it's just about moving forward and being your most honest self. And there will be people who will love you and desire you for that. And they'll be awesome people, right? All the people that I'm dating and seeing like are amazing. And it's just about like moving forward, trying to find the big picture of your life, which is hard to do when you're young. Like, it's hard to have that perspective. And I needed someone to tell me that. And thank God I did. Like, this version of your life isn't your life. This version of your life is just your current circumstance. And you will move on from it.
That's lovely. Looking at things and going, all right, the world you have at the moment is not the world. There's so much more. Let's go look. And oh, that's so sweet.
Thank you.
Imagine being the kind of person that peaks in high school. Like, ugh.
But I'm telling you, I have so much more style. I walk the world with so much more authority. Like, I look so much better. Some of these people really did peak in high school in a myriad of ways. And some, it's petty, but sometimes I remember that too, because I'm like, you made my life in high school, but those were the best years of your life. And like, come on. And I'm getting to like travel the world and get on stages and like talk about being a hoe and talk about patriarchy and racism and all these amazing things. And I'm getting to like share my writing with the world, which I'm so grateful for. Like, I'm in some ways lucky that I have so many opportunities, but it's like, just reminds me that she was right. I'm living the life I was meant for, holding on to who you are and just like moving through the world and like trusting that you're going to put yourself where you need to be is the way to do it. And trusting that you're not where you need to be at that point. But if you're young, you're probably not in control of where you are. So as you begin to get that agency, as you grow older, you get to shape your life into what you want it to be.
You're exactly right. Once you start doing that and you kind of go, you know what, if I'm going to be me, I can't be me in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. I need to move somewhere bigger and more exciting and more with more opportunity. Then, yeah, that's when that kind of shit all starts to come together. I think you're really right.
Absolutely.
Was there a part of you that almost whisper in your ear that Chad was a fluke and that was going to be it and there was never going to be anyone else?
That was one of the harder things about that time, because it really was quite a few years. I never had a boyfriend in college. Like, it turns out a lot of queers go through college and don't have boyfriends, but I didn't know that. Like, I watched Felicity growing up and I just thought it would be like that. Like, I would have all these hot guys wanting to sleep with me and like whatever. I also went to a college that was very small and didn't have a lot of gay people, even though it was very progressive. So there were definitely times where I was like, oh, that's a fluke. But I also was able to sort of say to myself, but it happened. Like, it happened. And even flukes have to happen, like often happen more than once. I guess because I did see people around me having certain interactions with people and like having hookups and having romance, in some cases sort of illicit secret romances, but romances nonetheless, I think I did understand that the college I was at was very small. My environment was still very small. And that if I just like got out into the world, that it would change. And I remember now, I graduated from college in 2008. The economy was complete shit and I had no money and I had no job. And so I moved back home, took a job selling soap at the mall. And that was what I did for a year. And I was like writing fiction and like deciding that I wanted to be a writer. Even just like working in a mall, like in a city, as opposed to being in a tiny school, like there were men who would hit on me. Like when I would go to gay bars, like sometimes at the store, people who worked at the mall, there were like situations that I could have like followed up on if I had had the confidence and if I had known how. And so I spent even that year learning, oh, you are desirable. And then the next year I moved to Philadelphia with friends in a house and I had some experiences and went on some dates and like met some people. And it was really edifying for me just to be in the world. I mean, when I moved to New York after graduate school, the very first date I went on is a guy that I ended up dating for 6 months. And it was like, it was my first serious, like semi-serious relationship. Wow. And like went on a date with him, like literally within the first week. And my college friends had all said like, oh, they're like, none of that stuff matters in New York. Like, there's so many people, everyone wants different things. People feel free to be them. So like, you're going to be fine. And I was fine. It completely changed. And I like that first year in New York, like I made up for lost time. Those first few years, I'll say I made up.
Yeah, I was going to say not just that first year. I've heard some of your stories, you know.
Yeah. In some ways, I'm still making up for lost time.
On behalf of the queer population of the world, we thank you. Please keep it up.
I mean, listen, a thought's got a thought, right?
So true. And as often as possible. Yeah.
For real. For real. Yes. So important.
I could sit and talk to you all day, but I feel like I should let you get back to your writing and stuff.
Well, I guess I should promote maybe a few things.
Yeah, feel free. Go for it. Plug whatever you like.
Okay. So if you like literary fiction, there's two ways that you can get to some of my work. I mean, if you go to my website, www.dennisnorsii.com, you'll find all the links. But there's a chapbook that I put out a couple of years, like a year and a half ago, that's done really well called Ost Collection, Dennis Norris II. And it's a collection of four short stories sort of about queer Black boyhood. That is sort of the overwhelming theme of my work. And then I had a story that is an excerpt of the novel that I'm currently like finishing up and hoping to send to publishers soon. It's in a collection called Everyday People, The Color of Life, which is available from Atria Books. You can find it at Amazon.com, most independent publishers. And so check that out. And then, of course, my podcast, Food for Thought. That's food, the number four, and thought spelled T-H-O-T. So yeah, check all that out.
If people want to get in touch with you on social media, where's the best place to do that?
Twitter or Instagram. On Twitter, my handle is at the Earl Denden, T-H-E-E-A-R-L-D-E-N-D-E-N. On Instagram, I'm Dennis Earl II. And you can contact me through my website as well. There's a contact me button if you just scroll all the way down. And those are the easiest ways to reach me.
That was probably true. The multi-award-winning storytelling series written and produced by me, the multi-award-winning Scott Fleshheart. It was designed to remind all of my queer siblings that we are none of us alone. You can find links, transcripts of every episode, and all that good stuff at probablytruepodcast.com. If you enjoyed or found value in anything you've heard today, you can support the show on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/probablytrue. And if you want to get in touch, just search Probably True Podcast on the socials.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.